What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. It has been a couple of weeks since our last upload, and I appreciate you guys sticking with me. I have some really great guests and podcasts planned for this and next month, so looking forward to getting back into a little bit more regular podcasting, looking at 2 to 3 episodes a month just to keep you guys, your expectations in check. And so thank you for listening and all the kind reviews and 5-star ratings. Super duper helpful. So today we're going to talk about if I were starting my fitness journey over, here's what I would do differently. And I'm going to frame it that way to start. I'm going to go through some of my journey, things that I would have done differently if I could go back in time. And then I'm going to kind of repackage that list kind of into more of a suggestion. If you are listening and you are starting your fitness journey, right? If I'm talking to somebody who's just starting out, how am I going to take what I've learned to give maybe some more practical recommendations when it comes to general or mindset and training and nutrition? And so again, we're going to go through it first from a, you know, me looking back on my journey, some of the things that I've done that I would do differently. And then we'll repackage it in the context of if I'm talking to somebody who's just starting out, what would I recommend they do? And before we jump into that, I made a list. I was like, hey, what are the things I would do differently? And I just word vomited out, I don't know, 20 things. But as I was writing them, I just think, personally, and this is a privileged place to be, but I feel like I'm in a good place with my fitness, my nutrition, my relationship with my body, my relationship with food. And I look at some of the things on this list, some of the things that I did that maybe weren't optimal or, you know, in some cases, very far from optimal, some stupid shit, if we're being honest. I don't look back on them with a ton of regret. You know, it's kind of like, I don't regret, like, maybe, I don't know, sorry, Jenna, like, maybe I don't, like, regret people I've dated in my life because I know that they ultimately led me to Jenna, right? They were a part of my relationships, my growth, my personal growth, my love life that ultimately led me to realizing that Jenna was the right person for me later in life, right? And so it's the same way. It's like, I don't look back on all of these things with anger or like, oh, I can't believe I did that. In some ways, they're just part of the journey. And they, in some ways, are a rite of passage. In some ways, they play a part in me ultimately arriving where I am. And I say to you, listener, to not have that same anger about maybe stupid things that you've done, or you look back with regret, or you're like, I can't believe I did that. You know, messing things up is kind of how you learn. And so the idea that you would just, at the end of the podcast, I'm going to list, like, hey, my advice if you're just starting out. The idea that somebody would just pick up, you know, nutrition and training and do everything perfect right from the get-go is unrealistic. And I think some people can learn from my mistakes. And that's kind of the goal from this podcast, is to kind of shorten that learning curve for people. But I also just like chuckle about this stuff because I'm like, hey, like I remember this time in my life, what life was like. And maybe it had a part to play in me arriving here. So I don't want you to have that sort of guilt and anger and shame around things that you've done, as in all likelihood, they have been a part of your personal growth to learn from. You know, mistakes are only mistakes if you don't learn from them. And I think there isn't a person who is feeling good about a thing that hasn't, you know, had some speed bumps and mistakes along the way to learn from and grow from. So that's the way I feel about this list. So I don't want to frame it in like a, I can't believe I did this. I was so dumb and I have so much shame about it. I don't have any shame about it. I feel like they've been a part of my journey and it just is what it is. So some of the things that I would do differently if I look back at my own fitness and health journey, the first one, and these are in somewhat no particular order. These are kind of spanning across maybe different mindsets, training, nutrition, et cetera. The first one is I would have hired a coach sooner. And again, it's not that I even knew about coaching. I didn't know about coaching. My first coach ever was Chris Barakat, who's like super duper smart dude, bodybuilding coach, like very just smart dude on the cutting edge of research. And I was, I don't know, 26 maybe. And gosh, if I had had somebody like that at like 20, I would have learned so much more quickly, you know, wasted less time and maybe just had many more years of education under my belt, and would have helped me professionally as well, because I think I spent a long time, you know, not doing the best things ever with my in-person clients. I think when I was a personal trainer, you know, the diets that we gave people were crazy. The training that we did was kind of wacky. And if I had had a coach who was on the cutting edge of research, or just somebody that I admired, even if that person wasn't doing something perfectly, just somebody to learn from, someone in my corner, I think that would have expedited some of my learnings. And I didn't even know about coaching at that time. Online coaching was barely a thing 13 years ago, right? And so, no looking back at shame, but I think if I could go back in time and snap my fingers, I would have said, hey, dude, you don't know everything. Go hire a coach. The next thing I would have done differently is I would have started doing cardio first. I would have started doing cardio earlier alongside my training. You know, yeah, I've been so bad at cardio my entire life. I have asthma, and I've always kind of self-selected, or at least identified as the person who sucks at cardio. It was like kind of part of my identity. So I almost didn't bother to work on it because I just decided that I was bad at it. And I'm still pretty bad at it, but I'm much better than I was 2 years ago. I'm 2 years into my cardio journey, and I just feel the best that I've ever felt alongside my lifting. If I were to describe how I feel better, I'd say in general, everything is less fatiguing. I have more energy than I previously did. I have more energy to play with my dogs and play with my daughter and just run around. And if somebody wants to go do something, I'm up for it. You know, if I have to be on my feet for long periods of time, I'm good. I feel good. You know, not in an awkward TMI, but like I feel like amazing from like a blood flow perspective. And overall, from a recovery perspective, my lifts don't feel as fatiguing. I feel like I recover a bit better. And so, yeah, I would have started doing cardio, not anything crazy, but I wish along my journey I would have just acknowledged that cardio for health is probably a good idea. You know, I probably waited till I was like 31 to even acknowledge that, hey, cardio is probably good for your heart, man. You should probably do this. And 31 isn't 91, right? And I'm still very grateful that I've kind of sorted that out early enough. But yeah, I would have went back in time. I would have started doing that a bit earlier. Next is not always trying to stay lean and bulk harder and longer. I tried to stay lean way too much. As a personal trainer, you know, your body is your business card. And so I just assumed I always needed to be in tip-top shape. And that probably really dragged out my muscle growth, just like it made it take way longer, me not wanting to bulk. Finally, I don't even remember what year it was, maybe 2020, maybe 2019. I did a 2-year bulk. I gained 30 pounds over 2 years, which I don't know if that sounds like a lot to you, but to me, that is a perfect rate. That's, 30 pounds over 24 months. It's a little bit over a pound a month. And it was the most productive period of muscle growth I had had since like my first 2-3 years of training. I had mostly been kind of main gaining, gaining a little bit of muscle for like 5 or 6 years at maintenance before I was like, you know what, this isn't really getting me much. And so doing a 2-year bulk, going from, I think it was 188 pounds, like 218. Again, those numbers are just personal to me. I recommend people, bulk until they don't feel good or their blood work shows them that they've, their health has declined a tiny bit. I don't want that for anybody, but I think if I could go back in time into my earlier years, I wouldn't have spent, 6 years trying to just main gain. Because during that time I was hoping to gain muscle. By the way, I have nothing against main gaining. That's where I am in my life right now, where I'm training at maintenance. I don't want to bulk. I don't want to gain weight. I care a little bit more about my running right now, so I don't want to do that. But during the period of time in my life where I was really trying to build a lot of muscle, I wish I had also thought to myself, hey, dude, like get into a surplus then, and not tried to stay so lean. And, again, maybe TMI or I don't know, not TMI, but it negatively impacted my health. I suffered from certain things involving trying to be so lean all the time. From an energy level perspective, from a libido perspective, I was not in my best state of health. Next one is I would have embraced machines earlier on. I think the gym I worked at, my first gym ever, was owned by an ex world record powerlifter, West Side Barbell, very much like powerlifting style. It wasn't a powerlifting gym. It was very much a boutique kind of bougie mom and pop personal training gym. But our training, like the trainers, you know, when we learned kind of under this guy, we did, and by the way, no, he was super strong and for his time a beast. But just didn't think of machines. I didn't understand the upside of machines. I didn't understand that the fact that the machine was stable, that I would have better motor unit recruitment. I'd be able to push a little bit closer to failure in the target muscles and all that jazz. I didn't understand that. And so to me, it was just, okay, I have this machine, but I could do barbell bench press and I could do barbell squat. And we had like a leg press and a hack squat that I just like didn't use that much because I assumed deadlifts and squats and bench press was the way to go. And I probably could have made, you know, better gains or, you know, all in all had less fatigue using things like leg presses and hack squats and doing a little less, you know, deadlifting and back squatting, which by the way, deadlifts and back squats are awesome. I just, you know, think that I would have, you know, could have seen some better results if I had understood the upside of machines and used both of them together. This next one's a big one. I didn't track my workouts for probably, you know, and this is an interesting point as I'm saying it out loud. I didn't track my workouts probably the first 5 years of training. And two things come to mind when I say that. Number one is I should have been. I would have seen much better progress, much quicker progress. I would have been a little bit more dialed in. I probably would have saved a whole bunch of time. But I also feel like I'm very, you know, like if I look back at my first 5 years of lifting, like I'm very proud of the results that I got. And so in the same breath, it kind of goes to show that, yeah, tracking your workouts is a good idea, but it's also not required to make gains, at least early on. Like when you're early in training, you know, I would work out way too long. I was working out like 2 hours per workout. And, you know, the reason you track your workouts is to improve effectiveness of your training, but also to improve efficiency, because if you're more effective per set, because your weight and reps are dialed in, then you can probably do less of them, right? And so two things come to mind. One is I could have saved a lot of time. My training quality per minute would have gone up. But I also chuckled at, like, yeah, you didn't track anything for 5 years. And guess what? You still built a lot of muscle because you went in there and you trained hard, right? You trained consistently and you trained hard. And it does underscore that that really is what you need to do. And that tracking your workouts, much like tracking your calories, just helps you dial that in a little bit more. It is not tracking workouts that grows muscle, just like it's not tracking calories that, you know, helps you lose weight or gain weight or whatever. It is that those things help you be a little bit more efficient. And while I can say that I was probably a little inefficient, you know, I compensated with doing a lot of really hard training and it worked. And so, yeah, tracking your workouts can save you some time and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. But, you know, it's possible for you to just also go in there, train, you know, understand what failure feels like, go close to failure, do a lot of sets and make some progress. Next one is I wish I would have competed in something. And what I mean by that is I wish I had had more performance-based goals. I was just a complete egotistical maniac with my aesthetics. It was the only reason I lifted. It's all I cared about. And I just wish that I would have had some complementary performance goal. You know, cardio, you know, I really enjoy racing right now and running. It's just super-duper fun. And it just has me in such a positive mindset about my training. I wish I would have done some powerlifting. I even, you know, even bodybuilding, even though that's not, you know, bodybuilding more from like a discipline perspective and maybe I would have been pushed more to understand anatomy if I was training for bodybuilding just to understand. But the information back then was not, there wasn't as much widespread good information on anatomy then. So who knows what sort of rabbit holes I would have went down. But I really wish that I had competed in something like running or triathlons or powerlifting. I just didn't have those people in my inner circle. I know that the owner of our gym was a powerlifter, but just wasn't encouraging people to do that, which is fine, by the way. But I just feel like I think that background of performance would have shaped me or hastened my rate of getting to where I am now in terms of my relationship with training. I think having performance goals, it's not mandatory, but I think it's a mentally healthier mindset than I want to look a certain way. It's like, well, if you can just focus on, you know, let's try and deadlift 2 times your body weight or let's try and run a 8-minute mile or whatever it is. I think that that can be a really nice, healthy addition to your goals. Next is, I wish I had taken sleep hygiene a little bit more seriously, but I think anybody in their 20s, like, sleep hygiene, dude, like, I didn't think one iota about how I was sleeping, when I was sleeping, how consistent I was sleeping, watching TV with the brightness all the way up until I fell asleep, like playing video games. Like, I just didn't think one second about my sleep. And I think that that's more on the normal side, even if it's not super intelligent. I do wish that I would have taken my sleep hygiene a little bit more seriously, my sleep a little bit more seriously. I mean, I was 22-year-old me first starting out personal training, I was up every day at 3:30. And I will say that I got my shit together sleep-wise almost by necessity, but I wish I had kind of looked into how to do that. I was getting up every day at 3:30. I had an in-person client at 4:00, and then I had another client at the gym at 5:00. When you're first starting out, like low man on the totem pole, I was very happy to do whatever. But like, I still wasn't sleeping enough. I'd still like go out the night before if we were, you know, friends were doing something. And so I wish I had taken that a little bit more seriously. I mean, the older I get, which is just a classic scenario, the older I get, the more palpable, like the more tangible the difference in my mood between when I sleep and when I don't. When I don't get good sleep, I don't want to say cranky, but I am pessimistic and I have higher anxiety. I mean, just the other day, I was having this moment of like, everybody's social media is growing but mine. Everybody's business is growing but mine. Your group program isn't growing. Your social media sucks. You know, like, you're not making enough money. Everyone's making more money than you. Like, it's just like, I'm like, and then I have like 3 nights of good sleep and I look back and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you like, what kind of mindset was that? And so I do feel like I'm an overall more positive person when I get my sleep. And so that is something I would have taken more seriously. Next is taking more form videos. I think that I could also write in this slot, like giving a shit more about my technique. But I think caring about your technique also means that I should have known more about proper technique. You know, I was still more in very like old school technique cues. They weren't based in like really good biomechanics. They're just kind of old school technique cues. So I wish I would have learned more about biomechanics and I wish I would have applied that by taking good form videos. I wish I would have encouraged clients to take more form videos. Not because perfect technique is absolutely mandatory, but because I think it can, again, improve your training efficiency, which is really what I'm all about. Next, I wish I would have focused more on fiber. I didn't understand very early on the benefits of fiber. I knew fruits and vegetables were good for you. Duh, like we know that from like 2 years old. But I didn't, you know, I was perfectly fine and happy to eat chicken and rice at every meal. I was like full, like as a personal trainer, I'm just shoveling down food between clients, right? Like we're just, I don't know if you've ever been or have people in your life that are personal trainers, but like we had a little closet behind, like there was a front desk and next to the front desk was like a little closet. And in that closet was everybody's food. And in between clients, there'd just be like five of us warming up chicken and rice and shoveling down bite. You know, I'd take like 5 bites of chicken and rice between clients and then get back out there. You know, the client would come in like right on the minute and I'd be like, go walk on the treadmill for 1 minute. And they'd like walk over to the treadmill. I'd be shoveling down chicken and rice. And I just remember not eating fruits and vegetables for like a few years because all we were eating was like chicken and rice, ground turkey and rice. And yeah, again, all good. Like my gut health and everything is fine. And I'm very fiber focused now and I feel the best I've ever felt and all that. But yeah, totally did not give that enough credit early on. Next one is I would not waste time doing keto. For those of you guys who know my story, I didn't miss one single day in ketosis for like 16 months. When keto first kind of ramped up, I think it was like 2015, maybe. I think it was like 24, 25. I immediately went keto. I was pricking my finger every single day. I was chugging olive oil, chugging MCT oil, making bulletproof coffee, 5 eggs with cheese and butter and bacon and everything that you see now. Just as keto was just starting to pick up, I was like, oh, I got to get on this new hot diet. I was like, all these benefits. And, I wrote this one. I said, don't waste time on keto, but as I'm talking about this, like I don't wish that I didn't do that. Now, I don't wish that other people do that, but me personally, because I am now a fitness professional, at the time I was, but, you know, I wasn't really sure what I was doing in my life. I'm so happy that I had that experience, because what I will say is I definitely didn't grow much muscle during that time. And physiologically, I probably wasn't my best. I probably had sky. My LDL during my keto was like 412. So I'm sure there was like, hey, during that period of time, I was not in the best heart health. But I think prior to going keto, I was pretty low fat. I was pretty like, fat is bad. I was like avoiding certain foods like cheese and oil and fattier meats. And I think by going keto, it really made me embrace some of those foods that I now love today. Nuts, avocado, olive oil, dark chocolate. Like I didn't eat a lot of those prior to going keto. And then when I was keto, I was just shoveling that. I'll never forget. I was keto. Yeah. And just having somebody make me food on keto. And it just is a hysterical memory of like, just having somebody make you food. And I remember that being kind of the first time when I was like, oh, maybe what I'm doing is kind of weird. But I wouldn't waste time on keto if I'm you, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I don't know. Going keto for that long period of time really helped me introduce some of what I think are some of the healthiest foods to include in your diet, right? Unsaturated fats. And, you know, who knows if I would have become friends with those foods otherwise, let's say. Next is I would have tracked my calories sooner, and we'll talk about this in a bit, kind of my advice for you if you're just starting, but I would have tracked my calories sooner and more rigidly. I know that sounds weird, but I would have tracked my calories sooner and more rigidly because I feel like doing that for many years got me to a place where I no longer have to do it, and it's not that I'm like mentally tracking, but it gave me so much education about nutrition that I hold in high regard now, and I appreciate that experience. I'm currently tracking for the first time in like 5-7 years, but mostly just because I want to make sure I'm eating enough carbohydrates to do endurance exercise. But yeah, I wish I had started doing that sooner, because the sooner I would have done it, the sooner I could have stopped doing it. And so yeah, the sooner I would have done that. The next one is I would have been more open-minded and less Dunning-Kruger effect. For those of you guys who don't know what Dunning-Kruger effect, it just means like as you start to learn about a topic, you exponentially overrate your knowledge of that topic. And so like in the first year I started learning about nutrition, I thought I knew everything. The problem was I didn't know anything because I was only reading sources from like a couple different people. I was only gathering information from a couple different camps. And I was really close-minded. I just can call upon some memories of discussions I've had with clients early on, 23, 24 years old, where I just thought I knew everything. And so I would have just maybe had a bit more of a open-mindedness. Next, I would have taken more progress photos and not just like flexing photos in the mirror, but like standardized progress photos. Like I really wish that I had a photo of every year of me doing like the same poses, at least. I have pictures in my phone of just like stupid flexed photos that I'm like, oh, you look good, let's take a picture. But I do wish I had taken some more progress photos on this journey to look back on, to really appreciate how far I've come. You know, if I could go back in time, which of course, you know, it's crazy, but like the first day in the gym, the first year in the gym, first 2 years in the gym, I'd love to see more during that time of what were my newbie gains actually like. I started going to the gym junior year of high school. I think I weighed 180 pounds when I went to college, and I would just love to see kind of what those first few years were like. The last two are, I wish I would have experimented more with different training styles. You know, I was lifting for aesthetics, and so that's all I cared about. But again, I wish I would have spent some time powerlifting, spent some time doing kettlebell training. And regardless of how I feel about these topics now, it would have been a good experience for me, right? Again, I wish I would have done some cardio, maybe some plyometrics. Olympic lifting, I have never done to any serious degree. Even CrossFit, you know, I would have been, when you're a kid, you think it's about, I need to get jacked. I need to get jacked. It's like, you don't realize how much time you have to do all that and how maybe experimenting with a bunch of different stuff and learning. I've kind of done it in reverse, right? So I spent 10 years lifting with the sole goal of building muscle. And now that I, you know, I was going to say I have all this muscle. I'm not that jacked, but I have enough muscle for me and my happiness and function in life. Now I'm putting that on maintenance and exploring other training styles. And I don't look back with regret in that chronological order of things, but I do think that young me should have been like, cool, you're young, dude. Like, try a bunch of stuff. It's just like, same thing with like jobs or whatever. Like, now's the time for you to try, experience, learn, you know, and then you can decide what's important to you over time. So, and the last one is I wish I would have bought Bitcoin. Okay. Those are some things that I would have done differently specific to my kind of nutrition and health journey. And again, I don't look back on them with shame. I think each one of these was a, you know, because I, and again, this is caveated by the fact that I feel like I'm in a very good place with my mental health and physical health around eating and movement. So I can look back on these things and say, hey, you know, they were just part of the journey. But I do very much believe that in my heart. It's not that I wouldn't do these things differently, but I'm certainly not stressed that I didn't do them differently because they have led me to a point that I'm quite proud of. And so if you are on that journey and you're like, I can't believe I did this stupid diet or went keto or did carnivore or, you know, did like 3-day fasts or juice cleanses and detoxes, like, you know, okay, all right, you do some stupid shit. Maybe you learn that it isn't for you. It doesn't work. And that experience is a learning experience that brings you closer to where you ultimately want to end up. So that said, I think that there's, you know, if I had a choice between making more mistakes and making less mistakes, I would make less mistakes, but, you know, still there's some learning to be had there. So if I were starting today, right, if I was a sedentary person, I really wanted to improve my nutrition, my training, I wanted to get strong, fit, and healthy, what would I do? In general, here are some things that I would do. And I'm going to try and keep this concise because this list, there were like 30 things in each bucket here, but that in and of itself is not good advice because people who are just starting out don't need 30,000 pieces of advice. They need a couple important pieces of advice to get started on. So I hope that some of this will be that. If I were starting today and my goal was to be fit, strong, and healthy, I would, number one, have meaningful talks with my inner circle. And this means talk to your spouse, you know, your children, your mother, your friends. And if you're trying to make some changes, just, you don't need to get people on board in the context of that they need to do this too. But I do think that if something's important to you, you're going to do better if the people around you know what's important to you and why it's important and that you've made it a point to say that to them. Right, you're gonna have less saboteurs in your life who are gonna be like, just live a little. Like, oh, you're not gonna have cake. Like, oh, you're exercising again. You're going to the gym again. It's like those sorts of relationships can be quite toxic in your pursuit of bettering yourself. And I think when I say inner circle, I don't mean everyone under the sun. I mean your inner circle, the people who you interact with the most, the ones you live with, the ones you love and care about. I would have some meaningful talks about what's important to you and that you have this goal. And that whether or not they do it too, it'd be nice if they did, you know, whatever. But whether or not they do it too, that they know that this is something that's important to you so that they respect it. The next is I would get some comprehensive blood work. Reason being, if you have some parts of your blood work that come back and they don't look so great, they can be motivators that keep you out of an aesthetic-only mindset, right? Like people are like, how do I improve my relationship with my body and my training? And one of those ways is by making your training and your nutrition and your health pursuits about more than just looking lean or looking good or looking a certain way. And one of the ways you can do that, and you can emphasize the health forward weight neutral component of this, is by having some objective data about health, right? And saying, okay, my LDL, you know, I want people just as proud about their, you know, progress photo where they can see their biceps as they are about their LDL going down and blood sugar being in check and liver enzymes being in check. And I think getting some comprehensive blood work and seeing some of those things that you can work on that aren't in the mirror can be really mentally healthy. Again, I have nothing against aesthetic goals, but I think you should have more than just aesthetic goals. The next I'd hire a coach and I would ask a million why questions. Hire a coach and ask why and 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 figure out kind of where your coach is coming from certain decision-making, understand why you're doing certain things, why they gave you certain prescriptions, ask why. Now, you don't need to know everything on a cellular, molecular level, but, you know, if you're just getting macros from a coach and you're just trying to hit them and you're not really thinking about what or why you're doing what you're doing, I think you're missing out on some of what you're paying for, is what I'm saying. Like, you should be also, your coach should also be somebody that you are hoping to learn from. And so I would ask a million why questions. And the last one is I would adopt at least one mindfulness practice. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be therapy, right? It could be journaling. It could be meditating. It could be breathing exercises. And those come in different shapes and sizes with different goals. But I put this here because I think some level of introspection, reflectiveness, self-awareness goes a long way to developing a healthy relationship with your body and your movement and your food and your choices and your life. And I think if your goal is to be in this game, and this game being like taking care of yourself for the long haul, I think having some level of introspection and reflection is important. And I think that that takes intent. I don't think we are naturally as reflective as we should be. I think that most people aren't, you know, sitting down at the end of the day and really reflecting on their day or reflecting on their goals or reflecting on how they're spending their time and reflecting on what's important to them. And I think that we need to be intentional with that, at least for a while until it becomes more natural. Now, moving to training. If I were starting today, here are some things I would do. I would track my training. Again, I would write down the weights and the reps that I'm doing, and I'd get on a program that repeats exercises week to week. I would lift 3 times a week and I would do cardio twice a week. I would do something lower intensity like incline walking or the elliptical or the Stairmaster. And I would do something higher intensity, again, on the Stairmaster or the elliptical or the bike or running. But I would do something where I get my heart rate up in sort of an interval fashion. And I would do something a little bit longer and a little bit slower. Like, and for me, I love incline walking or the elliptical. I think they're both awesome. But again, bike, rower, Stairmaster, whatever. I would set a performance goal. I bet early on the one I would set is lifting a certain weight for a certain lift that I care about. And it would just help me. I think having a performance goal also helps you with your relationship with food because you don't see food as just calories for that might impact your weight gain. You see them as fuel for hard training and fuel you need to recover and adapt. And I think that that can be a nice, helpful relationship with food thing. I would take progress photos maybe every 6 months. I would go for a walk after each meal or as many meals as possible. Again, there's something here from a blood sugar control perspective, but for me, it's mostly a digestion perspective. I just feel really good when I go for walks. Plus, it helps me. It's a habit stack that helps me get more steps per day and just be more generally active. And so it's like, hey, if I want to be more generally active, when can I move my body where it has an additional benefit after meals? Next, if I liked a certain sport or activity, I would play it. Like if you're somebody who likes pickleball or tennis or basketball or soccer, or whatever, play it. It is such a beneficial part of your health and fitness and mental health. The randomness of sport can be really good from just like joint and tendon health, right? I mean, if you're running, it's very sagittal, it's very forward and back, it's very up and down. You don't really get a lot of lateral movement. You don't really get a lot of, you know, explosive movement per se. And so if you like a sport, I highly recommend you play it. From a nutrition perspective, I would track everything that I ate somewhat meticulously for 6 months at maintenance or in a small surplus. Basically, I just wouldn't go into a deficit. I would say I'm going to track everything I eat for 6 months meticulously so that I can learn everything that I need to know about what I'm putting into my mouth. And then if I want to adjust how I'm tracking or not track at all, I will have learned a lot. And I would rather people do this not in a deficit. I think that learning whilst hungry is just less of a good idea. I would have a focus on building balanced meals. I would really try for those 6 months to build my meals around a protein and a plant. I'd grab a plate and I would think, what protein am I having? I'd get that down. What plant am I having? What fruit or vegetable am I having? I'd get that down. And then whatever third component of the meal, it would be this is how I build meals personally. I get a protein that I like. I get a vegetable or fruit that I like, and then I look at that combination and I think, oh, what would go well with that? So I might pick a salmon, and I might pick an asparagus, and I think, what am I in the mood for that would go well with that? It could be potatoes or rice or slices of avocado, whatever. So a little pasta, whatever. And so that's how personally how I build meals. I think having a protein and fiber or a protein and plant focus is really important. If you're just starting to improve your nutrition, that is the single most powerful habit you can do. Next, I would aim for 30 different plants per week. I know that sounds daunting, but when you start to think about it, it's actually not so daunting. Like bread is a plant, a bean is a plant. If you have a salad with a bunch of veggies, that could be 7 to 10 different plants in there. And I would track this for a couple weeks. And I recommend, P.S., this is something that most people are not doing. So this isn't really like a beginner tactic that you can only do when you're just starting out. Like, you, listener, track how many plants you're eating per week. We know that fiber and plant diversity is super important, super well correlated with health, good for your gut, good for, you know, all the reasons that fiber is good for you. And so aiming to diversify your plant intake, aiming for 30 different plants per week is a habit that you're going to hear more about, is all I'm saying. And the last one is that I would quit alcohol. And I'm not judging you if you like a drink here and there. I'm not. But I would want somebody to quit their addiction and decide for themselves, but I don't really love that phrasing. But what I mean is have a period of time where you don't drink to break away from the regularity, to denormalize it. And then if you want to, and I've done this many times with clients, I'm like, hey, let's do 60 days no alcohol or something. And when you're done with that, we can almost like redecide what you want your relationship to be. But people get into such a habit with drinking. They're at a barbecue, they have a couple beers. They're at a sporting event, they have a couple beers. They come home from a long day, they got a couple beers, a glass of wine, whatever. And I don't think, you know, a very small amount of alcohol is ruining your health. But I do think that it's not helping your health. No amount of alcohol is healthy. And I think people just get too much into a routine with their alcohol intake that they don't really ever take a step back to zoom out and say, what do I want my relationship with alcohol to be like? Do I really need alcohol then, you know? And I think there's something powerful about a period of abstinence to kind of just take a step back and decide, okay, well, I don't need this thing. I've proven that to myself. How do I want to incorporate this thing into my life? So those are some things that I would do if I was first starting out and some of the things that I would do differently during my journey. But again, if you're listening and you've done some dumb stuff, there should be no shame. It's all good. It's all love. It's part of your journey. You know, and that sounds so cliche, but it absolutely is. Everything is a learning experience. Don't look back on dumb stuff you've done and feel shame and feel guilt. What you should feel is, what did I learn from that scenario and how did I move forward into a better place? All right, I'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.